Greetings and welcome to another River Radio Sports Central podcast powered by our friends at NovaCare Rehabilitation. Alongside Matt Varney from 103.5 ESPN, I am Darren Kennard, and we have reached that point in the season, Matt, where we are in full postseason mode, or at least full postseason prep in basketball for sure. But last week we crowned a bowling champ.
We did.
And it was a Southern Illinois sweep as the Harrisburg Bulldogs went out and took care of their business at St. Clair Bowl in O'Fallon, and they ran away with the team title. And then David Lutschka from Carterville kept it from being a Harrisburg sweep.
That's right.
But he kept it in the deep south, in the river to river, as those guys. He won the individual title, three Harrisburg medalists in the top 10, all three sophomores, by the way.
Yeah.
So what a great weekend. Bree Central was third, also got a trophy. Salem, the two-time defending champ, ended up sixth. So once again, Southern Illinois flexed its muscles and the boys bowling.
Yeah, it was great to see. Obviously, David Lutschka, I think it was 55 pins more than the Harrisburg kid that came in second. That was really cool to see that he held it off right there right. And said, I'm taking this back to Carterville with me. But for Harrisburg to finally get that win, the past couple of years they've been right there, and Salem's just held them off right there. It was really cool to see Harrisburg finally get that first-place trophy.
What was interesting to me was last year they also had the lead after day one going into the second round, and then there was about a 200-pin swing, and Salem ends up making it back-to-back championships. And so you wondered, how would this Harrisburg team deal with the lead coming into Saturday this year? Well, all they did was go out in the morning session and shoot the fifth-best team series in IHSA history, and it removed all doubt for the afternoon and really took a lot of the pressure off, and they were just able to kind of relax and take care of their business. I think they ended up winning by 689 pins, which is the largest margin of victory ever in the state series.
Yeah, well, and when I saw that 600, I didn't know that it was the largest margin ever, but I was like, that is a lot right there. And I know across – you know, when you're doing, what is it, 12 games basically in 2 days, I was like, that's possible, but that is just so much. Right. They left no doubt at all.
Yep.
And so it was complete dominance. And like you mentioned, plenty of sophomores medal in the top 10 that Harrisburg made an emphatic, we are here and we're not going anywhere type of statement.
Yeah, just one senior in the rotation for the Bulldogs. The three sophomores, James Cranmore, Dalton Wheeler, and Miles Brombaugh, the medalist. Caleb Gore, who won the regional, and I believe he was the top of the sectional. He was their fifth scorer. Jonathan Carlton, the only senior, like I said, in the rotation. A handful of juniors also in the group below. So this is a team to be reckoned with, at least for one more year, probably two more years. And so, but again, just a great weekend for the Bulldogs. We're recording on Friday morning, as always. The girls bowling postseason is later today, or it actually is going on as we speak. The area teams are at the Heron Bowl, which is Marion is the host. Yeah. And so that postseason will start not quite as strong as the boys side. But again, there has been some history where the girls have had some success.
Without a doubt. And you mentioned it to me as we were walking into the studio, and it snuck up on both of us, honestly.
Friday is what got
me. Yeah, exactly. A Friday of all things, but also just the fact that, you know, so many times you kind of almost expect them to run together because it would be doable. It's just there's so many teams.
Right.
So that you expect it to run together, but then you get past the first state series and you're like, oh, yeah, we're right back into the swing of things right at the beginning of the postseason for the girls. And so, best of luck to our area athletes. Obviously, they won't all be able to make it past today, but we'll be following along, and hopefully we can be doing this again with the girls' teams and individualists in a couple weeks when the state series happens again.
So the regional teams are at the Marion Regional at Heron Bowl, and Collinsville and Alton Marquette also host. Those that advance will go to the Mount Vernon sectional next week, so that'll be that. We talked about girls' wrestling starting last week with regional. Their schedule's a little different. Is they go 2 weeks, so their sectionals are next week, and then state's 2 weeks after that. The boys' postseason starts Saturday. Most of the area 1A teams are at Carmi. There's some at a couple other sites, but the big schools, most of them are at Waterloo. And then this is, again, that postseason grinder has started in with basketball just around the corner as well.
Without a doubt. And it's funny how basically the girls take 2 weeks in between theirs. They end up running into each other with sectionals, and then the boys pass them by for their state finals. But, I mean, obviously I know a lot about Murfreesboro, but they're a team that is definitely to be reckoned with. Going into this postseason, they've had a fantastic year this year. They've got some really good individual wrestlers. They're a team that's to be reckoned with. And then I know you've got more that are on your list, but they specifically this year for the Red Devils, I know they have had a fantastic year.
Yeah, they've definitely had a fantastic year, and I think you've got some individuals that certainly are ready to make their mark. And in this vicinity, when you in 1A. You've got the regionals are at Lawrenceville, Roxana, Carmi, and Litchfield. And so you've got a very broad group, and that includes the likes of Belleville-Altoff. That includes the likes of Vandalia. Auburn has traditionally had a strong team as well. And so some of the perennial state powers end up kind of coming here. And next week, Carterville hosts the 1A sectional. The big schools have to go all the way to Lincoln. So that will be a lengthy trip there. So, again, boys postseason regionals this week, sectionals, then state will be in 2 weeks, and the girls are kind of in a little different. And some of that, I think, was because a lot of the same coaches were doing both.
Right.
But, again, it didn't make sense that the sectionals, there is overlap there. So, and I don't know what the answer is to that, but you know, again, the girls wrestling has grown so much. They've added regionals and stuff, and so it's been a hugely successful venture. On the basketball side, girls seedings came out yesterday. The pairings will come out later today, and you know, I think that you know, the one thing that kind of stood out in my mind, you know, in 1A, and you know, again, just because you got the number one seed doesn't mean anything, but it is a statement on the season that you've had. The Sussex-Waltonville Lady Red Devils getting the one seed in subsectional A. Edwards County, the 2. Woodlawn, the 3. And Marissa Coulterville, the 4. But yeah, SVW's had a really good season. And when you look at that whole Trico sectional, they've got a chance to you know, do some things here.
Yeah, without a doubt, they've had a quiet but very good season. Just I think it was last week they won their 18th, and I went and looked and said, "Oh my gosh, they've won 18!" And just and the losses that they had taken were very good losses, obviously. And just you know, you get lost in the sauce, if you will, of you know, Vienna, Harrisburg, a lot of the perennial powers around this area, Mount Vernon, Marion, of course, big stories this year as well. And so they kind of laid low a little bit. The smaller schools, of course, they hate when they end up laying low to us media folks, but you get around to it and you're like, oh my gosh, they're on the cusp of 20 wins on to 22 wins, something like that. And Cesar Valier, without a doubt, they deserve that number one ranking.
And you know, the hard part about that is that they're likely going to have to beat Marissa Coulterville on their home floor in the regional. So that's always a tough situation there. Woodlawn's had a very good season. They're going to probably have to beat Edwards County if the seeds hold on their home floor. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a tough task for the Lady Cardinals. On the other side, Gallatin County got the top seed. Shawnee, Pope County, and Alvarado ZR, the top four on that side. Usually Goreville is the one that we see is the dominant number one. It's been a real struggle this year for the Lady Black Cats, and so that's opened the door for some other teams to get up here and have an opportunity to not only win a regional, but get to that sectional.
Yeah, you want to talk about teams laying in wait. Look at that top four right there. Right. And they're all teams that I know are good and that have done good things this year. EZR especially has been just popping up every single morning. It's they won another one. They won another one. But just the fact that, you know, it's usually Goreville, and they usually have a pretty easy time going through their subsectional. But, yeah, like you said, the door has been opened. And there's a bunch of teams that are just licking their chops saying, you know what, we can't assume that this window is going to last long. We need to take our opportunity right now and make a statement and try to, you know, convince people that Gallatin County, that EZR, that Shawnee, like these teams are here and that they're worth, you know, communities that are worth, if you're considering moving, we're worth moving to and bringing your star girls basketball player to, you know. I mean, that is part of, you know, the deal as well of, you know, when parents make a decision of, well, I have this really good athlete, where do I want to move? Well, I know that program over there is really good. And when you're talking about a Gallatin County, you're talking about a Shawnee, you know, that can be something like, well, they've got a really good girls basketball program. I got a really good girls basketball player. You know what? It might actually be worth moving over there or something. So, you know, obviously that's not necessarily in the realm of recruiting, but obviously people will take it as that. But nonetheless, you know, those are things that are taken into account here. And so obviously, if they have a chance to go ahead and take a little bit of the stock from Gorville, they're going to.
And Gallatin County, fresh off winning the GEC Girls Tournament this week, as the tournament heavy schedule continued.
Yeah.
It is the last regular season tournament before we get to postseason, unless there's one that's hiding in the weeds on me. And Shawnee won the South Egyptian Conference
That's right.
regular season title. So those are the top two seeds there. On the other side, in the subsectionals that feed into the Lincolnwood sectional, the one that would get our attention, Oakville, the top seed. That's no surprise.
Of course.
Father McGivney, Brownstown, St. Elmo, and Sandoval, Odin, Patoka, the other top seeds in that subsectional. And again, these games all feed into the Oakville super sectional. And it certainly, while the road is not easy, it would certainly not be a shock to see the Lady Rockets playing on their home floor again.
No, not at this point. You know, maybe ask me that question 5 years ago, and maybe I'd say it would be a little bit of a shocker. But at this point, everyone knows the Rockets. Everyone has them circled on whatever sort of schedule that they have, be it just the subsectionals that we're looking at right now or something else. They look at the Rockets, they highlight them, and they say, you can go ahead and book them down for a lengthy postseason stay.
Yeah, and that happens when you go and raise the big trophy.
That's right.
We go to two-way, and the Trenton Westland sectional is just absolutely loaded.
Yep.
On the subsectional A side, Vianna the top seed, and talking about well-deserved, that is a team that has done everything that's been put before them. Ava Rush just became the school's all-time leading scorer in essentially 3 years because she had to deal with an ACL injury. And so, Vianna, I've seen the Lady Eagles several times, and they're a load. And Harrisburg, the two seed, West Frankfort, Johnston City, the three and the four. And again, these Vianna is hosting one of the regionals. So somebody's, you know, Johnston City, if the seeding goes the way you think, then the pairings that, you know, Johnston City would have to beat Vianna. Those are conference schools. They'd have to win at Vianna to, you know, to spring the upset. So that makes the mountain even tougher for them.
Yeah.
You know, Harrisburg and Frankfort, you know, according to seeds, you know, would be the favorites to get to the regional final. That would be at DuCoyne. So, again, it's Vianna and kind of, you know, Harrisburg proved they can compete with Vianna in the El Dorado Lady Eagle Winter Classic Finals. But can anybody else in that group give those Lady Eagles a run?
Right, exactly. I mean, they're so good. Rick Metcalf is a fantastic coach. Great guy also, if you've never gotten a chance to meet him. He loves everybody. when you look at it, just it almost, in my mind at least, feels like a Vianna-Harrisburg predestined meetup when it comes down to, you know, that subsectional when they all finally do. But, of course, that would only happen if on the other side in subsectional
right.
B falls great for them. But it feels like those two probably come out of the regionals. But, you know, they can't just go ahead and sleepwalk
right.
through it. Otherwise,
right.
they will get popped by something because there's great competition in there.
And then we have the subsectional of death.
Yes.
Bree Central, the number one seed. Nashville, the two. Carlisle, the three. Modern Day, the four. Columbia and Greenville, your regional hosts, and I mean, this is you're talking four teams that are in the top, you know, 12 to 15 in the state, no different really than it was last year. You know, Nashville was the one that survived and eventually made it all the way to the state championship game. But this is Carlisle's had a great season. Modern Day is Modern Day. And of course you've got Nashville and Central that have put together a tremendous season. So, again, whoever comes out of that will not be surprising.
Right.
And then the crossover games in the sectional, they will present a lot of problems for you, whether it's Vianna or Harrisburg or
somebody else,
or Frankfort or Johnston City.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And honestly, I mean, maybe it's showing slight bias, but I know Breeze Central is really good, but I was kind of shocked to see Nashville didn't get that number one seed. It doesn't really matter in the end because you're still technically the top seed in your regional.
Right.
But it felt like I don't know, that they got passed over almost.
Well, I mean, the thing is that they if you were to look at it, they're probably a push. I mean, and Bree Central does have a win over Nashville. I think that may end up being the determining factor. I mean, when all other things are either, have they played head to head and, and then that could have happened again, but then Central lost in the semifinals at Highland where Nashville won and ended up, losing to O'Fallon and a buzzer beater.
It's not Nashville's fault.
Right.
That's where my mind went. I was exactly. like, that's not their fault they didn't meet up in the finals.
But anyway, so that's, again, I wouldn't be surprised at any combination of teams coming out. The other subsectional feeds into the Paris sectional, and that feeds into a completely different super sectional. The Westland sectional will go to Vandalia and will face the Waverly sectional. And then some of our other teams are headed to the north and east. And in the Paris subsectional B, Mount Carmel, the top seed, along with T-Town, Newton, and Carmi-White County. Hamilton County is the 5. The Lady Fox is one of the regional hosts. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be a situation where they're going to have an opportunity to maybe spring some upsets and have that home court advantage.
Yeah, and Hamco has been, again, I hate to keep using the same term, but they've been laying in the weeds here. The past couple of years, really, they've been a really good team. They just haven't really been able to take that next step, but Racy Phelps is a fantastic, basketball player. And so on her back with the home court advantage, I would not be surprised one bit if a 5 seed comes out of the Hamilton County Regional.
And so then we go to 3A and our area teams got split up between the two subsectionals that all feed into the Civic Memorial sectional. In subsectional B, Mount Vernon is the top seed, Marion the 2, Freeburg the 3, and Carbondale the 4. Your regional hosts are Mount Vernon and Heron. And then on the other side, Civic Memorial got the number 1 seed, Triad 2nd, Effingham 3rd, Highland 4, Centralia 5, and Salem 6. And then the regional hosts are Triad and Olney. And so the only thing that would have been worse is, or further apart, would have been if Civic Memorial would have been, or maybe Charleston.
Right.
But again, so you're going to have teams that are going to opposite sides of the states practically in that subsectional. So again, the Mount Vernon Lady Rams, they beat Marion last night, wrapped up their 6th straight conference title. They've had a tremendous season. They own a win over Civic Memorial in the championship game at the Benton Christmas tournament. So that, not a surprise that they're the 1 seed, not a surprise that Marion is the 2 seed.
No.
And so you look at it with Mount Vernon and Marion being the top seeds, you got to figure that they're going to be the favorites to advance. And if they do make it to the sectional, they're probably going to have to go through some Mississippi Valley teams to move on.
Right, without a doubt. And when you look at, that subsectional, obviously Marion, a fantastic team, a great story this year with Eric Griffin taking over, and he's really, transformed that program. But Mount Vernon definitely earned that top seed in that subsectional. I mean, when you look at all the teams around, they have a 1A, 1B, and I don't know if any other team in the area in that class, at least 3A, has a 1A, 1B selection like Cam Pollard and Milena Zadalas. I remember talking with a college coach earlier this year that was paying attention to them and saying, around Christmas time, it was always Pollard. It was always Pollard at the beginning of the season, first month. And then all of a sudden, it was Zadalas that started popping up and saying, she's the one that's scoring all their points now. But now, past couple of weeks, you notice Pollard has started to step back up again because all the teams have shifted again over to Zadalas and saying, well, we can't just pay attention to Pollard and shut her down. So now it's Zadalas and Pollard basically having to go one-on-one with their matchups at this point. And now they're both feasting. Last night against Marion, Pollard had 25, Zadalas had 23. So it's become basically a situation where it's a two-headed beast. Good luck stopping Mount Vernon if you're in that subsectional.
Well, again, and we see it, at all levels, but, great guard play.
Exactly.
It makes it all go. And now Mount Vernon doesn't have a lot of size inside, and so if they run into size down the road, that could be a factor. But, again, the guard play is so good that helps make up for some of the sides. And Carbondale is kind of a sleeper here as the 4 seed, and so it's not a cakewalk for Mount Vernon. And,
no.
Carbondale got Marion earlier this week, a one-point win there.
Right.
And so The Terriers are certainly capable, and again, that would be a very interesting regional final.
And you know, those three teams you mentioned, Carbondale, Marion, and Mount Vernon, you talk about the guard play, also just the coaching. You know, you've got fantastic coaches on all three of those teams that they know what they're dealing with. They have ideas on how to stop each other.
Right.
But, you know, we'll see here in – because there's going to be at least one third meeting between those three teams. There's going to be at least one more meeting for at least – one of those matchups right there, and we'll see how it all plays out.
And Centralia is a five. I mean, that's a little bit of a surprise, and they've had a really good season as well. And Josiah Wallace, who signed to go to St. Louis, has been phenomenal. And so that's going to be somebody. And again, how the pairings end up shaking out, you know my rant's incoming about the when the seeds are not matched up accordingly the way they should be. Three should play sixes and five should play fours. And sometimes that's not the way it pans out. And sometimes that's because of who's hosting and the seeds and all that. And sometimes it's just – it feels like it's a, you know, an arbitrary place because of travel. But, you know, Centralia is you know, potentially going to be in that, you know, in that same, you know, regional with Triad and Effingham. And, you know, again, they won't be the favorites, but they will be a threat.
Well, Wallace is just such a good player, as you mentioned. She's committed to St. Louis, and she's going to do a lot of big things. And when you have a player like Wallace, you know, I know I talked about Zalas and Pollard being 1A, 1B, but really she is the type of player that it doesn't matter if you have a 1A, 1B situation. She will always be 1A. She's just that good. Talk about the guard play and everything. She is just so darn good.
And we're going to close quickly kind of talking about the boys, a couple of interesting results in some midweek games. Both were makeup games from Icemageddon a few weeks ago. Nashville goes on the road and wins at Pinckneyville.
Yeah.
The Hornets played really well. And, you know, they really had the lead for the, you know, the final basically 28 of the 32 minutes. And now it's a three-way tie atop the Mississippi. You've got Pinckneyville, Nashville, and Benton all sitting there at 5-1. And they've all beat each other in the round robin, and so the second meetings are going to be what determines the conference champion if somebody can go 2-0 against the other two.
Right, exactly. Well, and the thing is about that matchup. I know a lot of people called it an upset, and it is. Don't get me wrong, but it didn't feel as big of an upset as people were making it out to be, just because of the fact it's such a big rivalry.
And Nashville's a good team. It's not
absolutely.
Now, the thing that was a little surprising to me, if you just said, hey, Nashville's going to go in and win at Pinckneyville tonight, what's it going to take?
Yeah.
I would have thought Maddox Ritzel was going to have to go for 34 or something like that.
Supernova.
And you know, they had a very balanced effort. You know, they got things done from various sources, inside, outside. Ritzel did lead the way with 17, but he got four or six of those late from the free throw line.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, okay, well, you know, the star had to go out and be star-like. Right. They had a very balanced performance to take care of business. And again, that's, you know, that's a big, big win for the Hornets. And again, it really throws into play next week the seeding meeting for that. Because what do you do with this now? I mean, because it just it really throws everything up in the air.
As we mentioned, the regional, the subsectional that on the girls' side it is called the subsectional of death. This one really is, because it is the biggest question mark that everyone is looking at it. And I mean, that entire subsectional, both A and B, you look at it, the SIU Super, it is quite possibly the most competitive in 2A when you look at just everyone that's in those two subsectionals. It's going to be a tough one without a doubt. Whoever comes out of top on that 2A super at SIU, he's going to have a really good argument for potentially being a state champion. It's just there are so many good teams in it. But, yeah, you look at that specific subsectional, and yeah, good luck figuring out who gets seated where and who comes out on top of those two regionals.
Right, and you know, I mean, there's 12 teams, and we've talked about 1 through 8 just being, you know, crazy good. And you know, going into that game, Nashville was probably in that 6 to 7. Where does that put them?
Yeah.
You know, what do you do with Pinckneyville now? Does that drop them? I mean, it's crazy, because then you've still got Altoff, you still got Central Columbia is playing really well. Carlisle has certainly had their moments. Carlisle just beat Nashville Saturday in a two-point game. So, and Carlisle has beaten Pinckneyville early in the season. But yet Carlisle has some losses here down the stretch. And it's going to be fascinating to see how those boys' seeds turn out in that subsectional of death.
And one last thing about just Pinckneyville-Nashville. You know, you mentioned expecting for Nashville to win, needing Ritzel to go supernova. A.J. Keith didn't exactly go supernova, but he scored half of Pinckneyville's points. Right. And so that tells me, you were there, so I guess you could actually tell me here, but that tells me that at least for Nashville, they said, well, we'll let him get his points, but we got to shut down everybody else down.
And some of that came late. And when it's an 8-10 point game and AJ just put his head down and said, I'm going to get us into this.
Great
and,
player.
You know, just took it to the hoop, had three or four drives. He hit a pull-up jumper, knocked down a three, and just really was almost tried to will his team back in it. And Nashville, again, just that team effort to get it done. And, you know, again, a big win for the Hornets. And, you know, as you go down the road, you kind of feel like, you know, what you're going to get, you know, from Maddox, Ritzel and company, but, Ty Shanehair had 16 big points and, you know, and then you've got Parker Schoenberg, the big guy inside, goes for 15 and 16 rebounds. And, you know, against you saw how big Pinckneyville's front line is, and so that's a tremendous effort. So a big win for the Hornets in that one. The other big one in a makeup game was a Midland Trail game, and it was a barn burner. It was a rematch of the Midland Trail Conference Tournament Finals, same place, back at Bluford, and this time Weber comes out on top, beating Waltonville 78-75. Nathaniel Marlowe goes for 42 in the win, and I mean, there aren't a lot of dudes that can go out and get a 40-piece, and he has done it time and time again. And what's so impressive is everybody in the gym knows that he's the guy.
Yeah.
And it's not for a lack of effort. You know, Waltonville's throwing the kitchen sink at him, and he's still pouring in points.
Yeah, well, I guess the main difference was that they limited him to, 30, I think, when they saw him in the...
He had 33 in the
conference. He got 10 more, and they win by 3. You know, that's how tough it is to beat a Waltonville first and foremost. Your star player has to score 10 more points just to squeak on by them. But still, I mean, that's the first 1A team that's beaten Waltonville. So all of a sudden, all the teams are going to be asking for the film on that game to say, hey, I'd really like to find out how you guys beat them, if we can do the same. And there'll be answers in there. It'll be, the question will be, do those teams have the answers?
Do those teams have a Nathaniel Marlowe that they can throw at somebody? But
which the answer is probably not.
No, and you know, and again, for Waltonville, they've kind of hit a rough patch here, because we talked about their weekend last weekend where they had the 3A teams. They went on the road and lost at Marion. The Wildcats played really well and took care of their business. And then they come back and they play Centralia at the Pinckneyville shootout.
Yeah.
And this is a nip-and-tuck game throughout. Waltonville had the lead late. Centralia gets gets an and one in the final seconds to end up winning by 4. And so certainly no shame in that. There's no shame in losing at Weber. But at the same point, now you've lost 3 in a row after you hadn't lost at all. And so...
Yeah.
How will they bounce back? And then, you know, they play at the Benton shootout here on Saturday, and I believe they've got Carlisle in that one. And again, Carlisle is a team that has done some really good things that's in that bracket of 2A death.
Right. Well, and it's unfortunate that they take the loss to Weber. Waltonville probably is okay with taking those losses to bigger teams, better teams in those bigger divisions, if you will. But when it comes to Weber, obviously they didn't want to take that loss, especially if they just won there against Weber. So that's a little bit disheartening for the Spartans, but nonetheless, it's a lot of teams say, we don't want to take a completely undefeated season. Those are awesome to have, but you also recognize that you're going to fall on hard times in the postseason. You'd rather take a loss in the regular season. So they're falling on hard times right now, but I guarantee you when the postseason comes, they're going to rev their engine, and they're going to take this experience, whether it's a 3 or 4 game losing streak after tomorrow, potentially against Carlisle, whatever it ends up being, they're going to take this experience, and they're going to be better for it.
Well, and we've talked about this being the dog days.
Yep.
And, you know, this is the grinder This is, you know, especially you got makeup games. I think they end up with like 6 games in 9 days or something like that. Right. And, you know, it's just, it's really hard to kind of get up off the mat in certain circumstances. And again, it doesn't mean that your season's over by any stretch of the imagination. No. And, you know, we've seen teams go through ruts all the time. And so, again, there's no shame in losing at Marion or losing to Centralia. You know, I mean, I know they wanted to complete the sweep of the conference and the regular season and the tournament title, but that didn't happen. And so now you go back and, you know what, at the end of the day, yes, that's important, but, you know, now we got to get focused on getting ready for the postseason because we want plaques.
Right, exactly. Well, and as you mentioned also, you know, it's not the end of the world, but I guarantee for those kids, it does feel like the end of the world.
Sure.
You're 17-0, 18-0, and then you start taking losses. That's definitely tough, but they will definitely get through it. They just got to get a get-right game, basically. Whether it's Carlisle tomorrow or it's somebody down the road, you just don't want to obviously walk into the postseason on a loss, at least that long of a losing streak. They'll get right, and they'll be fine when it comes postseason time.
And we'll finish up. You got a big one tonight
for the
Ohio lead as the Red Devils go on the road to face Heron. The Tigers unbeaten. The Red Devils come in at 4-1. Shapes up to be a dandy.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, there were some things that happened at Murfreesboro in December that won't get too much into, but here's what I'll say. The Red Devils didn't shoot any free throws in the second half, and there was 18 shot by Heron in the second half. So, you know, that was a little confusing. But really, the Red Devils and the players and Coach Murphy will tell you this, kind of shot themselves in the foot in that loss. They gave away the ball 3 or 4 times in the final 90 seconds of the third quarter. That was the momentum shift that gave, because Heron converted on each of those turnovers, and it ended up being, and Murphy got the lead back, but it just was not the same as when they were holding it a majority of the game. So it'll come down to ball control. It's going to be, it was crazy at Murfreesboro with all the Heron fans that came over. It's going to be even crazier tonight. Both teams feeling a little weird about things, obviously. Murphy won big time at El Dorado the other night, but still, after that loss to Muskoda, it still kind of felt a little off. Meanwhile, Heron squeaked by Vienna. I think both coaches right now are kind of saying, you know, we got to find a way to start hitting on all cylinders. They don't, I think, feel like either team really is right there. This could be that game for one of those two teams, or it could be a slobber knocker. And just, and I mean, it was 3 years ago that it ended up being probably one of the best games I've ever seen. I am kicking myself to this day that I don't have the tape on it. Mm. But it was a 26-24 finish at Murfreesboro. Murfreesboro won it on a 5-footer from A.J. Walker right over Jonathan Harrison. And it was a fantastic finish. And that's the last time that Murfreesboro also beat Heron. So it's been a couple years. And so they're obviously dying to get a win over Heron. But Heron's also like, you know what, it won't be locked up, but it'll probably feel locked up with a 6-0 conference record. So both teams fighting for it. Murfreesboro trying to stay in that conversation, whereas Heron's like, we could probably lock this up here if we win tonight.
And that'll do that. And you've got the call for that one. Look forward to it.
Scott, well, and I think Murph will be there also, but that it'll be on 103.5 ESPN as well.
You can hear whichever side you prefer.
Yeah.
If you're a Tigers faithful or the Murfreesboro faithful.
At some point, at every point in the game, whichever, you'll be able to flip on one. One side will probably be complaining, and then when the one side stops complaining, flip it on over to the other one, and you'll find us complaining.
No, that doesn't happen. Well, that's going to do it for this River Radio Sports Central podcast, powered by our friends at NovaCare Rehabilitation. For Matty V, I'm Darren Kennard. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great weekend, everyone.